Mr. Mackenzie, reel six. Did you have much contact with the German population at this point?
I was took the first time I was took there when I first went across. I went with RMPs, and I was in a bus with RMPs. There was another lad, but I was sitting in the front. I was about 18, I think, was in this bus. And we're taken round Berlin in a bus. I wasn't notified why, but I seen me, I must have been lucky to get picked. And we went across and we stopped certain spots, and they were showing where they were. And then there was a little bit of discussion where what happened to them and where the atrocities was going on and everything else. Well, these men must have been heard about it and seen it, you know what I mean? What we hadn't heard, they were just put there. So listen to Dick, that one sitting back. And then they were asking what the German, right? Well, if you can understand someone can speak German then. Only thing what we learnt was ein, drei, vier, zumpt, you know, that way. And so it was sat back and never said nothing, just watched it and come back again. I had a cup of tea and a couple of beers with the Americans when we dropped them off. There was a couple of Canadians, there was some Canadians on. There must have been French on, because there must have been French on. And we just took back the camp after that, just took back. And why, I haven't got a clue. Nobody ever told us what it was and why I was there. Whether it was whether I'm being put somewhere wrong, but I was put there. And the next time when we went down the town, we went to the Grunewald. That's where there's a big lake there. We're in the camp just before it came across. And there was a couple of lads that would been in Berlin for a year, so they'd been there all the time. So they knew about them. We went down the town with them and went down. And here's the big park, and it's a big lake where a lot of people died in that one. So we're down there. There were motorcycles were scrambling at the time. Now scrambling, you know, having the bike, trying to get the sand hills, because Germany's all sand. And we're trying that one and watch them. And there was a few women sitting there. And of course, they're all arrogant, but you know how they get there, and the big women sitting there. So we were told, if they said anything, just tell them what to do with themselves. And then we came away from there and went out, and we had a little bit of money, but not enough to go around. So one of the better halves decided that we'll pick a few flowers, because somebody had tried it before in the park, and sell them for the 10, I think it was 2 marks, I think it was. Anyhow, strange old man, we made a book here, we got that paper and everything else. Luckily, we sold 5 pretty bunches, so we had the money for it to go for a drink. And we not only had a drink, but we had a meal in there, in the meal, so it didn't look so bad that day.
Was this out in the city itself?
Yeah, in the city. Because the traffic, all transport was free for us. We could get the transport was free. And we got cigarettes allowance, you know, you had to buy them, 700. I think it was 7 shillings for 200 cigarettes, I think it was. And play anything else then. The other thing was if you got coffee, you could sell the coffee on the market then. On the black market, I suppose, or it was. But that's how you there. So you weren't there. But you had to rely on your family to send the stuff out.
You mentioned going into bars and into the city. What was the reaction of the local people to yourselves?
They weren't bad. If they didn't cause any bother, you weren't bad. But there was some places where there was 3 pubs. You knew you were going to get into bother wherever you went in, because the Kings was in there, and the Kings and the Durhams. We didn't think about that one, but they had that way about it. So you had to spar wide. And the Corner Cafe was another one you used frequently, and there was a one down the road, we used to use that one. It was a German there. He could speak reasonable English, and he was quite good. And if you weren't in, he would serve you. And he was sitting in the back end, and there was a bit of music on. He used to play the the piano recording. And it was reasonable. So we're used to sitting there, about six. Well, we say it's only once a week, you know what I mean? But the money we had, because we only gone down there, we had that one. We used the nuffy. There was a big nuffy down there. But like anything else, that was the only thing we could do.
Was the nuffy separate to the
town? The nuffy was separate to the town. You had to go down to the town, the big place, that one. There was a cinema there. And of course, you're not allowed to smoke in there, so a lot of the lads was forgot about the rules.
What other sorts of things were there to do? What other sorts of things were there to do?
The only thing was, well, we say we very, very good at that. As I say, you could count in the hands, we could have, because we had no money at the time. I mean, it was just hard day. If you put together and you club together, you were lucky sometimes, that was it. Well, that was only from me. I mean, see, I tell you, when I actually, we never seen out there at that time. Then we went down to Portless, we came back again. So,
did you have much contact at all with the German population? What about the women?
Just on going on the trolley buses, the autobahn, and the railway, that was it. Used that one. Actually, we got lost in that, so we dropped it there. One of the lads, we went through the Russian zone. We got the wrong train. We're getting there, so he was telling me he'd been before, so we'd get the Russian zone. Want to come back again, so we just sat still and hoped that nobody would bother us.
Did the Russians not? Did you not come across the Russians?
No, they're not. They were blacks. They got a black suit, and they came. Like them, they were on looking at work, and they never, they never said no. We just sat there and come back and looked weird. So.
Was there much fraternisation with any of the local female population?
I suppose. Some of them might have gone, but as I say, we were never in this long enough to stop one place.
Was there any trouble with the local German population? Was there any?
No, there wasn't very much bother at all. I didn't see any bother.
What about? I mean, you mentioned before bother with other battalions or with the Americans.
We never had much bother with the Americans. The only time I went to Americans, I went to learn how to do the Browning.
Oops, it's still.
I went with Americans and they went across and there was a tough side in there, and the fire went across. And went in the camp, and we were just looking, and he says, you'll have to have your breakfast. Have you had your breakfast? I said, no. Well, he says, you'll have your breakfast. So I went across. And from luxury to luxury, you can't believe it. But anyway, he says, do you not eat? Because you're a big boy. And there was me and Martin, a lad called Martin. I forget his second name. And he says, that's all for use. We're looking. You know, we used to have one egg, a bit of bacon, and a bit of sausage. Well, there was fried bread, steak, and as I say, it was just a laugh net there. And they take her across and put her in a big hut, and he says, this is the American Browning machine gun, right? You know, all the ammunition and that. And he's showing you how to load it and fire it that way. Just watch that and done that one. And he's telling you the Buddha bazooka after that one is a bazooka. 3.5 bazooka. And he says it costs such much money. He said the English will be pretty hard pushed to fire it. He says because they'll not use it. And he says there's other weapons, but he says you learn when you get across here what they're like. But he says you're here to learn about the Browning. And he says the American rifle, which is, you know, there's the automatics. There was the automatic. So we're sure with that one. Then he took her back and he put her in the pegs for a little bit. Had a few beers. And then the same, we went by 5 o'clock, we're back in the camp.
So you were impressed with the American setup?
Oh, yeah. I was always impressed with the American setup. The PX is great, it's a fantastic place. You can buy anything and they sell anything in that blinking place. They've got something, anything else you need it. And they've got money as well.
So what did you think of that?
Money.
the Americans having everything.
It was just a different way of life, I suppose. They had a different way of things. And we couldn't do nothing about it when you were in there for 2 years. We'd done anything wrong, we knew we were going to get time soon. And most were just not so sure. Most were tradesmen. Some had done with time, but a lot of them hadn't done with time, we'd been stopped. A lot of them was lads that was out of, a couple of, four of them was out the farms, but they were like herdsmen, training that one. And so you've got to remember, we're going to have to go back to do our trades, pick them up again. So you're all watching and listening and hoping.
So what did you think of the Americans, your contact with the Americans?
The only time I met them was there. Later on I met them in America, and when I met them in Korea, but there I only met them twice in there. And as I say, twice I went across to see them, another Browning. And of course they took her on and showed her out, you know, old fires, you know, they give it a way of there. And a couple of ways, like anything else, you kind of do that one with the ammunition, but they put up one and, you know, load it and fired it. And it was, yeah, quite a hurry.
What was your impressions of Berlin? I mean, it hadn't been that long since the war ended. Was there much signs of the war damage?
Behind where we were, that when we were on IS duty, you had the families there and they were taking all the places down. It was a big block of flats and that, and houses. And they were still digging in there, the Germans was digging in and taking things up. There was a couple of bodies come out of it, still come out of the body. And they were like taking the bricks, putting them in and stand. And when you went across, when you looked out the gate, you could see them working there. But they didn't say nothing there because how they'd been. But you could look at them, you could see them, some of them must have been doctors or professional people. But they weren't very pleased with what they had to do. You know what I mean? And you could see them working there. But they were still living in, where we were, Spandau, they were still living in garden sheds and stuff like that. They were still living in garden sheds, and some had got the flats where they could get in there, and that was going on. There wasn't much building there. It was still mostly knocked down. The road was cleared, but there wasn't.
So still a lot of damage.
Oh, still a lot of damage there.
Was there much sign of rebuilding going on?
No, there wasn't much. It was just starting on that when they'd been doing the town centre, where they could get the building. That they'd done that one, but not very much.
So did you get much of an impression on the standard of living of the average German in Berlin at the time?
No, we're training them. We're training all the time. The other people would be in there, you know, that type. They would see it, but we didn't see much. We're training, getting ready for that.
So you didn't have, did you have much contact with things like the black market, or?
No, your black market for us would be, I mean, say, black market for us would just go to the gate and the bloke would come across and sell you, and that was what it was. You wanted, then you'd go down the town on a week, on a Saturday and Sunday, if you had that time, if you weren't on guard duty or something like that. And you'd just go down and you'd buy a, like the watch, which was going on nylons, what your sister wanted, or your wife, but if you were married. Or, I think that was only one of them married, actually. Watches, or the cuckoo clocks, another thing you could go across, and that was the only thing you bought.
Did you have much to do with Spandau, with the castle, the prison? Did you have much to do
Spandau with prison? I went on guard on there, just one guard. Got dressed, went across, come back again. And I was charged with bloody being absent without bloody leave. And I was getting that, so I wasn't very pleased at all with what the place. And I don't know yet how they got it, but at the end of the day it was still Mackenzie, so it shouldn't be me, it should be the other one.
So you ended up on a charge?
Yeah, well. He said I'd been absent without leave. I says, well, how can I be absent leave? Anyhow, I went in front of the officer, and he charges. I'm sitting there, and I says, by the way, I says, a Spandau prison, out of bounds. What do you mean? Well, I says, a Spandau prison out of bounds. How's that? Well, I said, I've just been across there. And I said, I've just done a 24-hour guard across there. So how can I be missing? And you just look and get this man out, and that was it.
What was your guard duty there then at the prison? What did you do?
Just went in, just stood on the back end. And most of the prisoners, the Americans, I think the Americans, it was wouldn't we be a British routine. They would be inside, the officers, the military police and them would be in there. We just got on the button there, just walking around, digging the walls and that. I didn't see none of the prisoners, I just done four on and two, and four, I think it was four on and two, or six on and four on and two, six off, that was it there. It was, that was something like that. Because we just gone across and you sat there, killed time. Well, you could sleep, but you know, you got your head down, but you had to make sure you didn't get your uniform, you know, to make sure it was clean. Well, that's all it was.
Well, we talked about you doing your the internal security and then moving on to other training after that. What did you do after that?
Come back to the battalion. As I say, I went down to Portland and then we were in there.
You were there for 2 weeks, I think you said.
Yes, yeah, so for 2 weeks.
What sort of things were you doing there?
Going onto the moors, moving up, digging in, attacking, coming back again, and then moving again.
So this was more tactical training?
More tactical training. Well, it was showing the officers how to move and everything else, and they will learn the same as what we. And we'll dig it. We had to dig in, and then hide it. When you fired the trenches up so they couldn't be seen, and look at that way. And then fire. We started using live ammunition, then we started that one. But again, that was another one. The Russians had cut the rations off when we were there, so we had bloody sat, we had for a week with our regiment again as usual. We had the best thing in the world, a jam, but it was marmalade, and we had lovely fish, which was kibbles when they came through. We lived them for bloody 5 days. There was a couple of tins of corned beef, and the French was across there, and the Canadians, and you could smell their food. But when you went in, the recipe on that wall was, you know, the menu was fantastic. A la carte, steak, Diane, roast potatoes, cauliflower, creams of sauce, soup of the day, and that type of thing. And if you look at that one, and you went in, he said, do you want the head to tuck off, or just the bloody kipper like that, and stuck it in you?
So you were on kippers and...
jam.
And jam. What accommodation did you have there? Were you on the canvas?
No, there's a barracks there. There was a barracks. The barracks was there. But we were out for 3 days on the manoeuvres. So we didn't come in. We just slipped entrance and come back from there.
And that was for 2 weeks?
Yeah, that was for 2 weeks. We got the food about 6 days later, and it came through. But that was what we were there with kippers. They were going down to Martin bringing kippers in every day. You've never seen the faces in your lifetime. At the end of the day, it was the marmalade went to your kipper, and then that was it. We got heart attack after that. The first food we got was when we were out in the field, and they brought stew, and it was the real army stew as usual, from your tin, your mess tin. Mind, I've had worse, so don't worry about it. I've had a lot worse than that.
What are the sorts of things were you doing there then? You would learn, was that the first time you'd been under canvas?
No, I mean, there before. When we were in Spandau, we'd done it there. Grunewald and the Grunewald. You'd done it there, but just doing that one. Canvas when we came back again. I was even on the campus when we were in Northumbria. When we were up there. What the hell? Can call the ranges up there? You're passing on to what is the Scotland? Kind of thing. We're up there in the campus. It's snowing there.
So how many were doing this 2 week training down there? When you're doing the technical training,
Two companies was down there. There was only two companies. You got to leave two companies in battalion and two companies down there.
So was it just the two companies?
Two companies down there, yep.
You didn't liaise with any other, you didn't liaise with things like tanks, for example?
No, we didn't do that. We were just on the move. There would be tanks there, but we didn't see them. We just come in.
It was just purely with your own companies?
Well, the companies, there was the French was on one side. When we were going one day, they were in. And the Canadian, I think it was the Canadians were there as well. I think it was the Canadians. And they were farther out on the thing. It's a big, massive plane where they use the plane, you know, it's a massive plane. So you can imagine what it was like. It was a tactical advance. Or like when we stood, fixed position, you know, trying to make a fixed position. Which happens in every time.
And that's when you started using live ammunition and...
Oh, well, I'd used it before then. I'd used it before.
So what happened after that? You did those 2 weeks there. And what happened after that?
Went back to battalion then. When we come back to battalion, so it'd be May. We'd be getting ready to come back to England then. Because we'll come back to England then and get ready for the embarkation.
So how long were you in Germany altogether?
March, April, May. June, about 4 months, because we came back in about coming back in the middle of June and went out about the middle, so 4 months here, about 4 months, that's all we were there.
So what did you think about this training that you did in Germany? Was this more relevant to what was to come later?
No, it was just basics, just learning things that one. When we went away, it was all trained, you learned the hard way after that, you weren't sure nothing.
So it still didn't really prepare you for what was to come in Korea?
Nope, never trained it. Not one iota.
Just coming on to that, whilst you were out in Germany, what about contact with home?
Just sent letters. We never contact very much, so it was there. How do you send one letter 1 week? Because his mother would be there, and I'll send a letter and follow me. That was it. Send one to my sister, to my two sisters, and that was it. No, that was it. Just letters once, something once a fortnight, once a 3 weeks, something like that. Just to keep them in touch.
And were you being prepared all along for Korea? Was that always in the back of your mind?
No, just coming in, just taking it day by day. One lad was all the same. He says, "Yeah, this is 4 months." He would say 6 months, 3 days and 32 hours and some, or 23 hours of there. Wait for the next one. And that was it. And all you want is just that one. Waiting, just going across. It's only when you start moving, nobody ever looks forward to the next day. It's all the same. It'll come. And it always comes.
So did you know eventually you would have to, you would be moving out to Korea? Was that always?
Yeah, just September, we just came back. We came back into June. We came back to Brandsmith. Some of the lads had, the locals and the regulars, they were getting 14 days or something like that. We were getting a week, because we weren't entitled over there, we were getting a week. And then... that was it.
So you came back to Brandsmith and you had a week's leave?
No, I didn't have a week's leave. I only had 4 days. I was called back. I was unlucky. I got called back for that one. I had to take men down to prison and it was there. I don't know why I got that job, but I got it again.
What was that about?
I'd been to dance. I'd been with my mate, and when I could come back on my halt, on my leave, I was in the army there. Because my suit wouldn't fit us, and he said, put a stone on. I could put this, well, the suit, I put it on, you know what I mean? I put one of theirs on. And I put a suit to go down. And we went to Whitley Bay. And we're down in Whitley Bay, and we went there, and we had a good time. Well, there was a lot of drinking going on at the same time, but dancing, there was the women there, and they had a party. And of course, we came back to get on the bus, to get on the train, and, missed the bloody train, so we decided to try and walk it, because the money in my pot was a bit short. So, go out along, and he already decided to put a bloody wind out, and the cop was coming, put him inside, and he got a bed and breakfast, and he got 7 6. Well, Jackie May got a lifter, 2 or 4, no wagon, a little bit, and back again. Now I got in the house about 2 o'clock. My dad's sitting up in a dance. What's the matter with you? He says, because he generally went to bed, he just come in at 1 o'clock. I says, why are you not in bed? He says, there's 2 coppers waiting for you. I says, well, Eddie put the wind out, not me. So I says, what do I want? He says, seemingly they want you to go back to camp. You want it for something? He leaves being cancelled. I says, I've just come from Whitley Beer, man. My feet's killing us. I've been out on the night. So I says, can I have a cup of tea? Any of them come to the door, tell us. Right, I had to go back. I says, well, you naturally think they're going to take us in the car or, put us in a room like that. No. Shanks is poorly. I says, got to Chester Street. Got up a bit high up the Chester, a bit flammed in. Got up, but got on to camp. And Batter's there, Edwards, he's the RSM. You've drawn a straw for to take these prisoners to. They were prisoners, not to go to Catterick Hospital. I says, well, how come I've got it? I'm reading them RMP. And I says, I'm on leave. Yeah, well, he says, you've got it. So anyhow, they put them in chain, on the bracelets on. And guns down to there. And we've taken them through, and who's in there but the RSM, Robinson. And he's in there. Well, you will straighten yourself, you will make yourself tired. I said, I'm not tired, I couldn't give a hoot to what you say to me. I says, I couldn't give a hoot. I said, I'm not tired, shattered. And that was it.
So you had to take them to the hospital in Catterick, the
hospital? I took them to Catterick, put them in the end.
When you say prisoners,
I can't remember what they're doing. I wasn't that tired. I was that tired, just getting up and took them down. And we said, well, you from Bransworth down to there's about 2 hours, them days would be about 2 hours down there. And I see, there's 2 hours in the hospital and 2 hours back. Well, maybe 3 and back, come back.
With no sleep?
Yeah, just straight down. Well, you do something like that, but you do something because you've got these. Look. And the other two, one lad come from Stanley and the other one was from, I forget where he came from, but anyway, it was 3 were sitting with these two. Three of them.
So that was your leave?
That was my leave. I had to go back and get my kit back because I forgot my kit back. I left me with this, my stuff. My big pack because I'd got my big pack, not my kit back. I just had my big pack. So I had to go back and get it.
So you had to come home and then.
Couldn't
have the rest of your life.
And it cost us 7 and 6. Wait, 10 bob then. 1, 3 and 6 there and 3 and 6 back. So I wasn't very pleased.
And you didn't get the rest of your leave?
No, you didn't get any.
So what happened after that? You were back at Bransworth?
Bransworth then. Went up to Putless, from there to Putless. Not Putless.
The whole battalion was back at Bransworth.
Bransworth then. We went onto the Manoas, outside of Catterick, onto the camp, on the training ground up there, under 10 canvas again. Same thing what we're doing in Germany. We're digging in, and on the moors in that one. Same again, digging
as a whole battalion?
Yep. The whole battalion was up there.